Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries, worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on national health care insurance when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we Americans have made them a part of our national psyche. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? And that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which are the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and just click onto the appropriate page, and you can download that free general law CD package. Or it's also streaming, so you can just sit there on a computer and watch it and listen to it right there. Why don't you do that right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, now we've been talking about this thing of national health care insurance. Last time I introduced you to deception. Now, deception works on both sides. Not only is the president lying to you about national health care insurance, there are other big players in the game, such as the insurance industry, the health care insurance industry. Now, during the last round, back in 1993, when this struggle was being acted out in the Clinton administration, the healthcare insurance industry, they wanted to spread fear. And so they put on their own disinformation program. And I'm not telling you that this guy, Peter Fleckenstein, may be working for the healthcare industry doing the same thing that they did back in 1993. I'm not here to vouch for Mr. Fleckenstein in one way or the other, but rather to report to you that this guy has stirred up a real hornet's nest. And that in the real world out here, the battle in politics is over deception and truth, deception and truth. And if you're going to win the war, you have to deceive people and you have to tell them the truth at the same time. You have to lie and tell the truth. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but let's run through this for a minute and let me show you. See, if I told you the truth 100% of the time, that's all I ever tell you is the truth. Well, boys and girls, you're always going to know the truth. It's the only thing you're hearing. It's the only thing you know. All right, now, if I lie to you all the time, every single time, everything that comes out of my mouth, 100% is a lie. I never tell the truth. Hell, you'd always know the truth. You'd always know the truth. Every time I open my mouth, you'd know that that's a lie. So then whatever is the opposite to that, you'd say, well, that's the truth, because Gordon always lies. See, that's the predictability of it. Now, deception comes from a combination of the two. Deception is a combination of the truth and lies. That's the way we deceive you. You see, 9/11 is not 100% lies on the part of the government. But they haven't told you 100% of the truth either. And the combination of the truth and lies has deceived two-thirds of the American public. Now, one-third, here in America, one-third of us are now alerted to the fact that 9/11, the destruction of the Twin Towers, was an inside government job. One-third of us are now alerted to that fact. Now, of course, the government has their official story, and they're going to stick with that official story. Now, let me show you some lies that have been given to us in the past. Do you remember the prison there in Abu Ghraib over in Iraq? And there were some soldiers over there that had abused some prisoners. And the president, this President Bush at that time, said he didn't know anything about that. And Secretary Weinberger, you know, Defense Secretary Weinberger, said, oh, this is a terrible surprise to me. Terrible surprise. See, both of those people lied. Weinberger ordered it, and the president ordered Weinberger to do it. It was called enhanced interrogation. Now, you see, torture in America is a buzzword. It's like abortion. See, abortion is a buzzword. And it just, it polarizes people, alienates them. And that's what torture does. See, so we Americans hate torture. So President Bush comes out and says, we have never tortured anybody. We are not torturing anybody. Torture is not a part and parcel with American policy. I loathe torture. Okay. And so, and I'm sure the president's telling you the truth there. He hates torture. And so what they did was they changed torture to enhanced interrogation. Enhanced interrogation. So what does enhanced interrogation mean? Well, it means torture, but we're not telling you it's torture. So we don't want to practice abortion here in America, so we call it a woman's right to choose. That's all. We don't like the word abortion, so we change the word to, or we change the term to, a woman's right to choose. Well, who in the hell wants to take a woman's right to choose away from her? See where you're at here? Now, we do the same thing here with sodomy. See, we all of us hate sodomy. So, and we change the word to gay. We're not opposed to gay and gays. We're just opposed to sodomy and sodomites. So what we Americans do is we willfully deceive ourselves. And here's our God. Now, he comes along and says, well, now this is what you people have been doing for thousands of years. It's in Isaiah 30, verses 8 through 11. Let me read it to you again. I showed you this last time. Well, let's take a look at it again. Here's God. Now, he comes to us and he says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. So I want this written down forever. I want you people, I'm going to stick this up in your nose. I'm going to put it right in your face. This is your creator. So why don't you write a book? So he did. It's in the book of Isaiah. It's in the Bible. Most of you have never heard this because you don't read the Bible, but then I just wanted to point it out. I'm going to stick it up in your face here. Verse 9, he says, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. You people in America, you're not going to listen to this. I mean, the average Joe Sixpack here in America, Canada, Australia, or Western Europe, he's not going to listen to the law of God. You haven't, you aren't, and you're not going to. But God wanted to make sure that this testimony was stuck right up in your face so that when this thing turns turtle on you, you were told. You knew or you should have known. That's the way we word it in law. Verse 10, these people say, which say to the peers and the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits. See, we like the government's version of 9/11. Fits more comfortably with us. And we like the government's spin on rendition. See, we have an outfit over here in the United States called the CIA, and our CIA is our KGB. It's our Gestapo. No, it doesn't quite work like the Gestapo and the KGB, but it's getting close to it, and it will here shortly. So anyway, they would capture people. Sometimes they would capture people in foreign countries. There was one guy they captured over in Italy, and they hauled him off to Egypt and tortured him there. So it's the CIA. They use our airplanes with our taxpayer dollars to capture people in foreign countries and spirit them off to some other foreign country that's in cahoots with us to torture these people to get information out of them. If the American people knew that, it would be upsetting. They wouldn't vote the straight ticket. So we have to lie to you. That's all. There's no big mystery here. We're lying to you. And you all know it. You've all heard the word rendition and spin and enhanced interrogation and pain compliance. I love that one. Here in the United States, we have about 40,000 police agencies. None of them torture anybody. Policemen in America do not torture anybody. What they do is they apply pain compliance. Pain compliance. What that means is we twist your arm behind your back until you sign. We apply pain to your body without making any marks. And let me tell you, I had a guy named Larry Richards one time. God love him. He was Chuck Palmer, Sheriff Chuck Palmer's administrative assistant. And he gave the instruction. He said, don't make any marks on him. And six guys went to work on me. And when they got through, I hurt bad for 2 weeks. But let me tell you, there were no bruises. There were no cuts. There were no marks on little Georgie's body. But let me tell you, it hurt real bad. So I understand pain compliance. I understand spin. And I understand politics. And that's why I'm here making this report. We are deceived because we are willingly deceived. We want to be deceived. And I pointed that out to you in the last program. This lady in a town hall meeting with President Barack Obama said that she had heard that there was a provision for euthanasia in the health care bill, and she said plaintively to the president, please, Mr. President, tell us it isn't true. And President Obama obliged, and he said, "That is not true. My health care bill is," and he went on to spout off his health care bill. And so on the last program, I showed you, well, here's the way we deceive you. We write a little of it here in front of you, and we put a bunch more in some other book and some other clause and some other paragraph somewhere else so that it's well hidden, that only lawyers, only those that are trained in the law, only those that are lawyers and judges can ferret it out. And most of the people that are in the Congress of the United States are lawyers. They're lawyers. They're trained in the law. They are trained lying deceivers like Bill and Hillary Clinton. Bill and Hillary Clinton are some of the most, or two of the most practiced, persuasive liars I have ever heard. I mean, they are good. And President Obama is a champion. I mean, I wish I'd trained him. I got to tell you, that guy is absolutely marvelous as a trained professional liar. God, he's good. Believable. My dad told me when I was a wee lad, he said that Franklin D. Roosevelt will lie to you, and when you get through, you'll know that he's lying to you, and you'll love it. You'll not only believe it, you'll love it. That's what I told you last time. See, Pearl Harbor, the president, that is Franklin D. Roosevelt, knew full well that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. Hell, they had the Japanese code. They had already decoded it. They were reading the Japanese communications. In fact, our side may have known what the Japanese were going to do before the admirals that launched the attack knew. I don't say that they did. I'm just saying they may have. I mean, we had pretty good intelligence. During World War II, the Americans, I think it was the Americans, captured a German submarine early on in the war. I think it was in 42. And they captured the, no, it was a German submarine. It was a German Enigma decoder. And the war turned around. In March of 1943, the German U-boat attacks in the North Atlantic began to deteriorate. And that's because we had the Enigma box. We could read the German communications before the Germans. Now, to make sure that the Germans are deceived, oftentimes, Winston Churchill, who knew of an attack that was going to be launched by the Germans, would not take evasive action. He'd let the Germans go ahead. You know, we'd mollify our side, of course, but he would let the Germans attack and then win the battle, because if three or four times in a row the Germans launched an attack and they were thwarted each time, then they would know, hey, wait a minute, those guys knew we were coming. They must be reading our mail. So, you know, if you get to this kind of intelligence, you don't want the other side to know that we're reading their mail, do you? So President Roosevelt feigned that this attack on Pearl Harbor was a total surprise. Hell, he wasn't surprised. He knew at least 3 days ahead of time that it was coming. He could have saved them. In other words, picture this. Let's suppose the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. All of the battleships are out in the ocean. And when the Japanese get there, all they see is anti-aircraft fire, and our airplanes are in the air waiting for them at 7 a.m. And when they arrive at 8, we're just blowing them out of the sky. They ain't got anything to shoot at, and we're just there blowing airplanes up. Huh? Well, hell, they would know that we were waiting for them. If they knew we were waiting for them, they'd know that we had their code. They'd change their code, wouldn't they? They never changed their code for the whole war. Neither did the Germans. That's how good our deception was on our side. We were reading their mail, and they never knew it. They never knew it because some of the time their attacks worked. We let them work. And the attack on Pearl Harbor was one of those. And 9/11 was another one. God, that was a beautiful job. 9/11 was genius. I got to tell you, it had some hitches to it. You know, Silverstein on that Building 7 caper that I've mentioned a couple, three times. I mean, that was a gaffe. And, of course, then that tells us, hey, wait a minute, this thing was an inside job. But, hey, listen, most Americans want to believe the government. Most Americans want to believe President Obama. And so they believe him because that's what he's telling them. He's telling them what they want to hear, and they're going to hear exactly what they want to hear, which is precisely what human nature is designed to do. Your creator designed this into you. You are designed to believe a lie. Let me show you that. Just a couple of pages ahead of this Isaiah 30. This book of Isaiah is just filled with spy, counter-spy. It's almost like reading Mad Magazine. You know, you got spy, white spy, black spy. And the book of Isaiah identifies the code in the Bible. It tells you how the Bible is written so you can't understand it. Now, once you understand this Bible code, then you're on your way to understanding legal code, because that's what the Bible is. It's a legal book. It's a law book. See, most of you people think it's a religious book. It doesn't have anything to do with religion. It's a book on international geopolitics and law. But you've been taught and told all of your life that it's a religious book, and the preacher, you see, he carries the Bible into church. Just think about this. He carries the Bible into church, and then he opens it up, and then he reads his text for the day, and then he reads one scripture out of the Bible, then he talks to you for an hour about this one verse in the Bible, which is totally off point, not a context. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible, but then you don't know that because, you see, he's deceived you. See, he walked in with the Bible. And you thought that his story came from the Bible, that his sermon came from the Bible. It didn't. It came from the 10 Planks to the Communist Manifesto. He's selling you an exact opposite product. Now, you think about this. The preacher sells evolution. That's right. The preacher tells you that the Bible is full of errors and that it cannot be trusted, but it's still good literature. Now, who in the hell would pick up a math textbook knowing that it was filled with errors and then rely upon the formulas that are contained therein? I mean, that's insane. But religious people buy into that every week. They don't have any problem with that. So you've got 66 books written by a bunch of fools that didn't know what they were talking about and filled with scientific errors. And the preacher sells evolution. See, he doesn't get up there and say, believe in evolution and science and don't believe Genesis 1, 2, and 3. He apologizes for God. He tells you about how God's made these mistakes, and he's real sorry about them. But God loves you anyway, and he wants to take you to heaven. And he just makes a fool out of God and makes a fool out of the Scripture. He carries it in. He doesn't teach you the law of God. He teaches you the exact opposite to that. That's the master. That's the genius behind the deception. Religious deception is genius. God, it works well. And there's 476 varieties of it. You got one truth and 476 lies. And the 476 lies and liars, who represent the 476 organized religious denominations here in the United States, all have some truth. Every single one of them. Hell, the Pope ain't lying to you 100% of the time. He's telling you the truth some of the time. And that's what keeps everybody deceived all the time. And that's why God in Revelation 12, verse 9, said the whole world is deceived. And the minute you deny that and you say, no, I haven't been deceived. See, that's your natural inclination. Yeah, everybody's deceived but little Georgie here. I'm too smart for that. That's what you're saying. See, no. That applies to all those fools that are Republicans and communists, but that's not me. I'm too smart for that. All right, now the minute that we can get you to believe that you can't be deceived, now we got you. Now here's the quotes. In Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And the answer is them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Okay, so this isn't for babies. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. All right, what is a precept? It's a statute. Go look it up in the dictionary. Precept, it's a statute. For statute must be upon statute, statute upon statute, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's the way this Obama health care bill is written. I showed you that in the last program. It's written here a little, there a little, line upon line, statute upon statute. Some of it's in Title 42. Some of it's in some of the sections of the U.S. Code. Some of it's in this chapter, and some of it's in another chapter. And we put a line here and a line there. We put an and here and an and there and a but sept here and a but sept there so that you can't find it. Now, you could code plead it out. I mean, you could find the answer, and I'm assuming that this guy here, Spiker, and Peter Fleckenstein have done that. They may not have. Peter Fleckenstein may be working for the insurance industry, and he is a direct and intentional counterfeit. Again, that's a part of the deception process. It worked in 1993. Why won't it work in 2009? Now, what we're looking at here may be a clever, crafty counterattack by the healthcare industry. Now, listen, you can rest assured that Mutual of Omaha doesn't care anything about euthanasia. And the president's not concerned about euthanasia. They're both concerned about selling their plans. Their plans make a lot of money. At the bottom of all of this is money. You see, the healthcare industry here in the United States is pushing $2 trillion a year. That's humongous. And the government has had its greedy eyes on the healthcare industry for the last 40 or 50 years. They want to take it over. It is big business. They want to control it for the benefit of the bureaucracy. And then here in the United States, the healthcare industry, they're already in control of it with the AMA, and they don't want to give up control. So you got these two titanic forces that are working together. So I'm going to give Fleckenstein the benefit of the doubt here, and I'll let you look him up. His name is Peter Fleckenstein. He's a blogger. Why don't you go to a search engine, look up Peter Fleckenstein, F-L-E-C-K-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. See, he's a Marine. I would believe that Marine before I would believe Barack Obama, Ben Bernanke, or Timothy Geithner. Yeah, that Marine's got 10 times more credibility than a politician, at least in my book. Now, he may be lying. I can't tell you. I can't vouch for his telling the truth. Hell, I don't know that. But why don't you take a look at it for yourself, and let's see where you go with that. Now, going on here in Isaiah 28, he says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. So here's your creator says, if you want to know how to code plead, then you have to be weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, and understand that statute is upon statute, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And he says, because with stammering lips, I'm going to stammer, I'm going to stutter, and I'm going to speak to you in German so that you cannot understand me. But the word of the Eternal was upon them, or unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The very purpose for writing the Bible in this code is so that you can't understand it, so that you'll fall backward, be broken and snared and taken. The whole world is deceived, and God Almighty himself is one of the chief deceivers. How do you like that? Isn't that just special? Now, why would he do that? Because he has an agenda. He's got a plan. He's got a program. He's working it out. And you don't know what that plan is. And neither does your preacher. Now, your preacher may believe that he knows what the plan is. It's kind of like the Masons. You know, the Masons come in to the Blue Lodge, and they believe that they understand the mysteries. They don't. They don't. They don't understand the mystery until they get to the 30th degree, but they believe that they do. And they're taught to believe that they do. So if you're a Mason and you're below the 30th degree and you think that you've got all the light that there is out there, you don't. You haven't got there yet. And Morals and Dogma on page 648 tells you that. So Masonry is a lying deception. And then it lies and it deceives its own members until they're ready to hear the final search after light. And that final search after light is that Satan is the light bringer and that they, the Masons, have the highest form of Satan worship known to man. That's the search after light. So every time you meet a Mason who has a 32nd degree ring on his finger, you know that he is a Satan worshiper and that he knows that he's worshiping Satan. It's a satanic cult. It's designed that way. But hell, we can't sell Masonry by telling you people that we're going to worship Satan. All of you Christians would get nervous and excited and upset. So they come to you and they say, oh, no, Masonry isn't satanic. Hey, we're real religious. And we're real nice guys, and we do good things, and we have Shriners Hospitals. And that's true, they do. Masons do wonderful work. Masons are wonderful people. God, you'll like them, you'll love them. A con man has to be lovable. A con man has to be likable. If he wasn't, he couldn't ply his trade. A con man who's rough, gross, and abrasive couldn't sell you the lie. He has to be smooth. And that's why I said Barack Obama. God, my God, that guy's good. I'm telling you, I don't think that Barack Obama has to take a back seat to Bill Clinton or Franklin D. Roosevelt. Not in the slightest. That guy is the top. He's at the top of his game. All right, now this report that deals with these 118 problems with the Obama health care plan is on the Spiker webpage. Go to Spiker, S-P-I-K-E-R, at spiker.biz. Or you can go to Peter Fleckenstein, the blogger, that Marine from Phoenix, Arizona. I don't have a name and number here to send you to for his blog. I didn't look that up for you, but Dirk picked it up the other day. This guy's name is Peter Fleckenstein. He's a blogger, so if you're going to look for a blog, wouldn't you go to Google, do a search on Peter Fleckenstein? And I think it'll give you his webpage, and then you can go to it directly, and then you can download probably more than the four pages that Spiker did. See, this Spiker report is just a Reader's Digest synopsis of it. The government will establish a national medical device registry. School-based health clinics will be integrated into the school environment, say government. That's government brainwash. States have to give up some of their sovereignty. I mean, there's a lot of provisions here in the health care bill that if you want to be informed, there is. Hey, we're at the halfway point here, boys and girls. I've got to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our webpage and you can download or stream that CD package. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the Obama health care plan. Now, the other day, I read to you a story about the Congress of the United States. Do you remember that? And I said that there are some criminals there in the Congress. See if I can find that here in my pile of paperwork here. I'll give you a little reminder if I can find it. And I can't find it, so maybe I won't give you the reminder. Let's look over here. Oh, here it is. Remember I said to you that 36 have been accused of spousal abuse, 7 have been arrested for fraud. Now, these are the 535 members of the Congress of the United States. And I started off by saying, do you think this is the NBA or the NFL? I mean, we know the NBA and the NFL is filled with criminals and all kinds of drug addicts and so on. But when we got to the bottom line, out of these 10 categories of crimes, you know, things like 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year, 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. You know, I mean, this is the members of your Congress. And it's 71% of them. 71%. All right, so now let me send you another little piece of information. This is written by a guy named Richard Namelia. Now, Namelia is kind of like this guy, Spiker. He puts out a blog. And this one here, J. Richard Niemela, N-I-E-M-E-L-A. And what you'll find this at, if you write this down now, you can get a copy of this report. I think this will blow your socks off. It says R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A. And so it's R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A at earthlink.net. Okay, it's J. Richard Niemela or Niemela. And that's his email address, R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A. At earthlink.net. Now the subject, this is why this country is in trouble. And the subject matter says, yes, they walk among us, are in politics, and they continue to breed. I thought this was pretty humorous. Now listen to this. These are excerpts from a Washington, D.C. airline ticket agent. A District of Columbia airport ticket agent offers some examples of why our country is in trouble. And see how many there are. There's 1, 2, 3, 9. There's 9. 12. There's 12 examples here. And I'm going to name names. Listen to this. I had a New Hampshire congresswoman, Carol Shea Porter. So you people up in New Hampshire, here's your congresswoman. She asked for an aisle seat so that her hair wouldn't get messed up by being near the window on an airplane, an airliner. Now you're sitting there saying, oh no, I don't believe that. Hang on. Wait a minute. Number two. I got a call from a Kansas congressman's, that is Moore, his staffer, Howard Bulike, B-A-U-L-E-K-E, who wanted to go to Cape Town. So I started to explain the length of the flight and the passport information, and then he interrupted me with, I'm not trying to make you look stupid, but Cape Town is in Massachusetts. So without trying to make him look stupid, I calmly explained that Cape Cod is in Massachusetts. Cape Town is in Africa. His response was, click. All right, now that's your Congressman Moore's staffer. Now that wasn't Kansas Congressman Moore, but it was a guy that was working for him on his staff. All right, you're going to sit there and say, well, see, it wasn't the congressman. You mean to tell me that fool has a nitwit working for him like that? Don't birds of a feather flock together? Number three, a senior Vermont congressman, Bernie Sanders, called furious about a Florida package that we did. So I asked him what was wrong with the vacation in Orlando. He said he was expecting an ocean view room. So I tried to explain to him that that's not possible since Orlando is in the middle of the state. And he said, don't lie to me. I looked on the map of Florida, and it is a very thin state. And then this is followed by OMG, which means, oh my God. Now, let me repeat that. A senior Vermont congressman, his name is Bernie Sanders. You people up there in Vermont, you've got a nitwit working for you in Washington. He may not be one of the 36 who have been accused of spousal abuse. He may not be one of the 117 who have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least two businesses, or the 19 who have been accused of writing bad checks, or the 84 that have been arrested for drunk driving in the past year, but the guy is a nitwit. I mean, you know, anybody that doesn't understand Orlando, Florida is in the middle of the state, and that Florida is a long state, but my God, it's 200 miles across. You can't see the beach from Orlando, Florida, in either direction, boys and girls. That's just for you people in Korea that didn't know that. Number four, I got a call from a lawmaker's wife, Landra Reed, who asked, is it possible to see England from Canada? And I said, no. And she said, but they look so close on the map. And the ticket agent says, again, OMG. That means, oh my God. Now, this is the lawmaker's wife. It isn't the lawmaker, but he's married to this nitwit. Where in the hell is this guy's brain? Number five, an aide for a cabinet member, Janet Napolitano. Now, Janet Napolitano used to be the governor of Arizona. Now she's a secretary of, I believe it's Homeland Security, in the Obama administration. Now, this is one of her aides. This is one of the people that works for this woman. Once called and asked if he could rent a car in Dallas. So I pulled up the reservation and noticed that he had only a one-hour layover in Dallas. So when I asked him why he wanted to rent a car, he said, I heard Dallas was a big airport, and we will need a car to drive between gates to save time. Now, this woman, Janet Napolitano, is the head of Homeland Security, and she has a man working on her staff who is so ignorant that in a one-hour layover, he believes that in Dallas, Texas, he needs to rent a car to get from one gate to another. Where in the hell did that guy come from? I mean, I don't think you could hire some guy out of the Belgian Congo rainforest that would be that dumb. When Dirk handed me this paper, I said, no, Dirk, these are jokes that have been put out by Mad Magazine. This can't be true. And he said, read on. So, okay, here's number six. An Illinois congresswoman, her name is Jan Schakowsky, spelled S-C-H-A-K-O-W-S-K-Y. Jan, if I pronounced your name incorrectly, I apologize. But I'm just a plumber. Okay. Jan Schakowsky called last week. She needed to know how it was possible that her flight from Detroit left at 8:30 a.m. and got to Chicago at 8:33 a.m. So I explained that Michigan was an hour ahead of Illinois, but she couldn't understand the concept of time zones. So finally I told her that the plane went very fast, and she bought that. I mean, honest to God, I'm not lying to you people. I want you to get this. You're going to have to read this for yourself. I couldn't believe it myself. I told Dirk, I said, this is preposterous poppycock. It comes from J. Richard Niemela, N-I-E-M-E-L-A. He's a blogger. If you were to look up J. Richard Niemela, if you could spell N-I-E-M-E-L-A on Google or Yahoo or any search engine, I'm sure that you can dig him out. He's got an email address here. And then I'll write this down. It's R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A. That's just all one word. At earthlink.net. So simple, isn't it? J. Richard Niemela. R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A at earthlink.net. You ready for another one? Here's number seven. A New York lawmaker, his name is Gerald Nadler, called and asked, do airlines put your physical description on your bag so they know whose luggage belongs to whom? And I said, no. Why do you ask? And he replied, well, when I checked in with the airline, they put a tag on my luggage that said fat, and I'm overweight, and I think that's very rude. So I put him on hold for a minute while I looked into it. And I got to tell you that I was dying with laughter. I came back and I explained to the New York lawmaker that the city code for Fresno, California is FAT, Fresno Air Terminal. And the airline was just putting a destination tag on his luggage to Fresno, California. Okay, now that wasn't a national congressman. This guy is Gerald, spelled J-E-R-R-O-L-D, Nadler. He's a New York lawmaker, so he's in your state legislature up there in Albany. Number eight, a Senator John Kerry aide, his name is Lindsey Ross, called to inquire about a trip package to Hawaii. After going over all of the cost information, she asked, would it be cheaper to fly to California and then take the train to Hawaii? Now that John Kerry, nice guy, married to an heiress, very wealthy fellow. A member of Skull and Bones, well-connected, ran for president of the United States in 2004. My God, that guy can't be dumb. But he hired somebody. He's got a woman working on his staff, and he gave her the job. I mean, you know, here, lady, I want to go to Hawaii. Get my travel plans in order. Now, I do that. And fortunately for me, I have my wife do that. When we want to travel, my wife gets on the horn, and she calls the travel agency, and they work out the schedule and so on so that it meets with my schedule. We want to go to Hawaii. All right, so it's not John Kerry. So I'm not telling you here that John Kerry is this dumb, but he's got a woman on his staff hired, working for him. That's that dumb. Would it be cheaper to fly to California and then just take the train to Hawaii? All right, now, I just got off the phone with a freshman congressman. His name is Bobby Bright, Democrat from Alabama, who asked, how do I know which plane to get on? I asked him what exactly he meant, and he said, he replied, well, I was told my flight number is 823, but none of these planes have numbers on them. Well, I guess a guy from Alabama, a freshman congressman from Alabama. Now, if this guy came from California or New York, I'd say we can't believe that. I guess a guy from Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, somewhere in the deep south, might be so far out of touch with reality, he'd never flown on an airliner before. I could understand Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob coming up in the resurrection asking what this flight number meant. There's no numbers on the airplane, but after all, they've never seen an airplane before, have they? I know it's hard to believe that somebody in America, I mean, maybe somebody in Japan or Korea or the Ituri rainforest, maybe in Somalia or Rwanda or Uganda, might ask a question like that, but from the United States of America? Huh? Anybody? Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if an Amish man asked that question. But a freshman congressman in the Congress of the United States of America? Surely you jest. Now, here's number 10. Now, here's Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California. Now, this is gun-grabbing Dianne. She said, I need to fly to Pepsi-Cola, Florida. Do I have to get on one of those little computer planes? Let me read that one to you again, because this is a classic. This is Dianne Feinstein. This woman, I never thought that she was this dumb. She doesn't appear to this ignorant, but I got to read this one to you again. This is Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California. She said, quote, I need to fly to Pepsi-Cola, Florida. Do I have to get on one of those little computer planes? I asked if she meant fly to Pensacola, Florida on a commuter plane, and she said, yeah, whatever, smarty. Well, I could see Mrs. Feinstein making a statement like that if she was drunk. I mean, you might say computer instead of commuter, or you might say Pepsi-Cola, Florida instead of Pensacola, Florida. That's an enunciation mistake. And maybe she wanted to be a little humorous. But evidently, that isn't the way this computer ticket agent took it. All right, now Mary Landrieu, who's a Democratic senator from Louisiana, Mary Landrieu, Democrat of Louisiana, called and had a question about the documents that she needed in order to fly to China. So after a lengthy discussion about passports, I reminded her that she needed a visa. Oh, no, I don't. I've been to China many times, and I never had to have one of those. So I double-checked to be sure, and sure enough, her stay in China required a visa. When I told her this, she said, look, I've been to China 4 times, and every time they have accepted my American Express. Now, that's the only intelligent statement in the entire list here. I got to say this. The word visa, V-I-S-A, is the word used by the Bank of America company, the bank, Bank of America, to name their credit card. It used to be called the Bank AmeriCard, but they changed the name to visa, V-I-S-A. Now, visa is also the English word that we use in your passport. It doesn't mean passport, but it means the record of your travel. So you have to have a visa to travel to China. And Mary Landrieu thought that the guy was talking about visa, the credit card, instead of visa, the travel document in your passport. So, okay, Mary, that's understandable. That's humorous. That belongs in Reader's Digest, you know, something like, a joke that you'd read in Humor in Uniform or something like that. Number 12, a New Jersey Congressman John Adler called to make reservations. I want to go from Chicago to Rhino, spelled R-H-I-N-O, Rhino, New York. So I was at a loss for words, and finally I said, are you sure that that's the name of the town? And John Adler said, yeah. What flights do you have? Well, after searching, I came back with, well, I'm terribly sorry, sir, but I've looked up every airport code in the country, and I cannot find Rhino anywhere. So the man retorted, oh, don't be silly. Everyone knows where it is. Check your map. So I did. I secured a map of the state of New York, and I looked up Rhino in the index. And I finally offered, sir, you don't mean buffalo, do you? His reply, whatever. I knew it was a big animal. Now, that's a classic. Remember, that guy's name is John Adler. I got to underline that name, John Adler, for you people in New York. Now, if I would have heard that story from jaywalking on The Tonight Show, from a college student that Jay Leno was interviewing on the street, I'd say, okay, that makes sense. But this is a congressman from New Jersey. This is a New Jersey congressman who called to make reservations. I want to go from Chicago to Rhino, New York. Rhino, R-H-I-N-O. Hey, you don't mean buffalo, do you? Well, whatever. I knew it was a big animal. I got to hand it to him. The congressman is right. Rhinos are big animals, and so are buffaloes. Now, could anyone be this dumb? And the answer is yes, and they walk among us. They're in our politics, and they continue to breed. And so I don't write it. I just offer it for your consideration. Like manure, you just got to spread it around. All right, so I'm going to put that in my file cabinet. So I take these papers like this, and I'm going to go into my file cabinet, and I'm going to stick those away someplace as files. I mean, you know, somebody's going to write me a letter and say, I heard your program. They do this. I heard your program, and that can't be true. Tell me where that came from. And then sometimes I can't remember. You know, a year from now or hell, 3 weeks from now, I might not be able to remember where I read that. So I want to tell you that that came from, so that you can get a copy of it, J. Richard Nimela, R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A, at earthlink.net. And this other one over here, the one that you're not going to believe, this NBA, where the hell did that come from? Oh, my God. Now, that was sent to me by a listener over our email. And I don't know quite where I got this. It says, you will not believe this, but it's true. NBA, NFL. And then it goes down the list over here, and I think it came from a student in Georgia, as I recall. There was a cover letter that went with it. Call us on the telephone if you want to know where the source came from, and I'll see if Dirk can steer you onto it. Honest to God, some of this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The president's health care program is unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's 118 reasons why it's unbelievable. And remember, it was put out by Spiker, S-P-I-K-E-R, at Spiker, at spiker.biz. And Peter Fleckenstein is the guy that is the blogger who discovered it. And I'm reporting on Peter Fleckenstein's work. You can look it up. He's a Marine from Phoenix, Arizona. He's got 10 times more credibility than the President of the United States. The man's a Marine. That tells you just about 90% of the story. I know the President is the commander of the Marines, but he's a politician. He don't tell the truth, but Marines do. Peter Fleckenstein, the blogger. Look it up on a search engine and get the report. Or go to Spiker, S-B-I-K-E-R, at spiker.biz. Hey, I'm running out of time here, kids. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Here, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.